it's a special honor when y'all ask me to preach. And I appreciate what y'all did for me tonight and me and my family. I try not to get emotional. Y'all know I get emotional when I get behind this pulpit. There's a lot of things on my heart. I've been praying today about this message. Went through the majority of the day, and I know y'all probably don't really... I had heard a preacher say about it one time. The congregation probably don't care what we go through during the day as far as trying to get a message together, but sometimes it's hard. I told a preacher, sometimes it don't come easy. Sometimes God, I told you that morning, he woke me up at 12 o'clock in the morning. I wish he'd give me all my messages like that. Yeah, they just come easy like that. But then today I had to work a little harder for this one. But I'm going to give you what God gave me this morning. But first of all, I want to thank you for your prayers. Thank you for what you did tonight again. I know most time I get up behind here and pout and cry and everything. But most of the time I'm a quiet person as far as my feelings. You can ask my wife. I hold a lot of things in. I'm just that way. That's just the way I am. I keep everything in. I don't know why. That's just the way I handle things. It's when I get alone and get to the side that I let my emotions out. Most time coming home from work, it's an emotional night. I have to deal with a lot of things. And you can't let your emotions show out on that job because people pick that up and they'll use that against you. And so most time, even my wife don't even know this, and she learns a lot of stuff from behind this pulpit. And I go home, and on my way home, that's when I let out some tears and just let things out in the car on the way home. And that way I don't bring them home to her and take them out on her. Amen. And then again, when you have a church like this, it does things. Last visitation, they come to the house and visit us and come to visit Liz. And Liz was gone that night, and they brought us a few groceries. And we'd just been praying about some situations coming up. And I told Tracy, just have faith. God will take care of us. And sure enough, he brought us some groceries, and I thanked him, and I tried to thank him as best as I could. But then after they left, I walked in the kitchen, and I looked at those groceries, and I cried over them. I didn't let my girls see it, and I cried over them groceries because God had took care of us. And God's always good, and he always shows up on time. He's good, God. And I told you last weekend, whatever happens with Lizzie, I know my God's greater than that. So I'm going to try to preach tonight what God's given me. If you take your Bibles and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Give you time to get your places there. I actually got this message, got the title for this message. I'll give you a title here in a little bit. I don't want to give it away. I took a class with Conway Police Department. They sent me to a class. I've been asking for training. I want my radar. I want to get certified where I can stop cars for speed, and I want to get my BA where I can go in there and do the breathalyzer machine. And I've been on them about giving me some training, and they sent me to some training, and they sent me to a 7 habits class. And it just told me how to be spiritual, and that's all it told me. It was a real good class. I told them I appreciate it. I said, of all the classes I had to take, you give me a spiritual class. So I told him I appreciate it. But I got this title out of that class. But starting in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 through 8, it says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, make foolproof thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, and I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. If you look back up in verse 6, he said, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Then he says, I have fought a good fight and have finished my course. I have kept the faith. I got to looking at this verse, and got to studying today, and I got to thinking about this verse and what Paul was doing, and Paul was kind of reflecting on his life. He's come to the end of his life. He knows that he's in prison. He's writing this letter, and he knows pretty soon he's going to be put to death. And he's kind of looking over his life, and what a great statement it is for somebody to sit here and say, I am ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. And he said, I have fought a good fight, and I have finished my course. Yeah, and what he's doing was reflecting over his life. And I just want to kind of do a little thing here with you tonight. I'd like for all of you to just kind of bow your heads, and I just want you to think. I'm going to have you go through something here tonight, and just by bowing your head, we're not at the end of the service yet. I know I've preached some short messages, but this is not the shortest one. But I just wanted you to kind of bow your heads. You don't have to. I just would like you to do it, and just kind of it helps you concentrate better. But I want you to picture that you're walking through a cemetery. It's a peaceful day. It's a nice day outside. You're walking through it. And you come up to a tombstone here. And as you look at that tombstone, you notice that your name is written on this tombstone. As you look at this tombstone, you see the day you were born. And everybody's got a different date. Mine was 1975. I can see myself, my tombstone, there's my date, 1975. And then let's say on your tombstone, it's got the year 2010. Somewhere in the year 2010, it's your time. God's called you on. And you're sitting here looking at that tombstone. As you look around, you see friends and family members. And they can't see you. They're just talking about you. And they're saying a couple words about you. I want you to imagine what they would say about you in your life. I want you to think in your mind what your friends and your family and your church members would say about you. And then I want you to look back at that tombstone, and I want you to notice something on that tombstone. Between the first date and the last date, there's something always, almost always, between the two dates. And it's a dash. And I just want you to imagine now the Lord Jesus Christ talking about your dash. And that's going to be, y'all can look at me now. I want you to think about the Lord Jesus, what he would say about you, what your friends and family would say about you. And the title of my message tonight is, What is Your Dash Worth Tonight? I told you I got this out of the Seventh Habits class. It was a class they sent me to. There's a little poem they read to us called The Dash. And you can go online and look at this verse. It's a poem. I encourage you all to go to it. It's a beautiful poem. And it says, I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on her tombstone from the beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of her birth and spoke of the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For that dash represents all the time that she spent alive on earth. And now only those who love her know that what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard for there are things you'd like to change. For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. So when your eulogy is being read with your life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they said about how you spent your dash? And I want to speak on you tonight about the subject of your dash. What is your dash worth tonight? And as I was thinking about this dash tonight, as I was studying, I got to thinking about life is short. Right. I got to thinking about what was happening to Lizzie, and sometimes things slap you right in the face. We had the world kind of say, had the world by its tail. We were coming to church. We were trying to do what God wanted us to do. Everything was going fine in our life. And then all of a sudden, something slapped us right in the face. And something happened with Lizzie. And I believe, like I said, my God is greater than anything she could ever have. But it's something that slowed us down in our tracks. And it made me think. And I got to thinking about this dash as I was getting this message together. And I got to thinking about how life is so short. Job chapter 9, verse 25 says, now my days are swifter than a post. They flee away, they see no good. They are passed away as the swift shift, as the eagles that hasteth to the prey. James chapter 4, verse 14 says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 says, "And as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this is judgment." And that'll come up in a minute. But it said right here in James, it says, "It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Right. And I got to thinking about how little time we have on this earth. And I got to thinking in this as I was studying this, about my dash, about my own dash. And I got to looking at myself and imagining my tombstone and what I've done for God and what I've done in this life for Him. And I was talking about how short life was. I can remember sitting over another church pew, a teenager up on the other church pew. I always liked to sit in the front. And I always sat in the front. And I can remember sitting there thinking, I've got the rest of my life. I'm going to do something for Christ one day. One day I'm going to do something for God. I'm going to sell out for God. I've heard all these preachers talking about selling out for God. And I'm going to sell out. And then I got on up in age. And now I fought with God for a long time. And I fought Him about being a preacher. And I just fought Him and just run from it just as hard as I could. And then one day I give my life to Him and said, one day, and then I can remember saying at that time, God, I'll preach for you and one day I'll sell out for you and I'll be everything you want me to be. And here I am, 35 years old, and I got to thinking about this dash, and I try to do what I can here at the church, and I try to be faithful, and I try to do everything I can, be a Sunday school leader, try to lead the choir when I'm here. But am I totally sold out for Christ? If I give my all for Him tonight, and as I think about that dash, and I imagine my tombstone, and I look at that dash, and I say, what have I done for Christ? Have I totally sold out? And that poem said, it talks about the cars and the cash and the life, and we've tried that. I thank God for giving me good vehicles, and I thank God for giving me a good job, but is that what really matters? When I get to heaven and I stand before God, is that what's going to matter? Because all that'll be gone. And all that'll matter is what I've done for Christ and the life I've lived for Him. And I got to thinking about how short life is. Here she is, 11 years old, I think. Done got something happening in her life. And I thought about how many more of us this year will hear something. How many more of us this year will have a doctor say, look here, you've got something wrong. Right. Yeah. It could be me next. Having some kind of sickness and going to a doctor, and the doctor says, I'm sorry to tell you, you got cancer. I'm sorry to tell you, you don't have long to live. You didn't catch it in time. And I wonder about that dash on my tombstone. Will it be all for Christ, or will it be all for self this morning? Will it be everything I can do for me and in my life and trying to have a good home, and I love my home and God's blessed me with a good home, but am I putting everything away for that home? Am I putting everything away for retirement and what I can do for me? Or I'm selling out to God and giving Him my all tonight? It kind of make you think about that dash tonight. Right. Number one thing I think tonight, I said that as is pointed, a man wants to die, but after this, the judgment. You must make sure beyond a shadow of a doubt you're saved. That's the number one thing. If I could get this point across to everybody, normally on Wednesday night is our crowd, we consider everybody, most of everybody here says that they're saved. But if there is one shadow of doubt in your heart tonight, if there is one ounce of doubt in your heart, you don't know, you said a profession, you don't know for sure, I'd run to these altars tonight and give my heart to Christ. The sovereign God will meet you right here and He'll save your soul. If there's one ounce in your heart anywhere, I'd run to these altars today. Because you never know when that final date's going to be stamped on your tombstone. You never know when that last number is going to be put in there. And as much the dash is all that you could do. It was all you could have done. I said right here, you must be saved. And there might be some people here that says, I'm not worth anything. I got to thinking about that as I was studying. I got to thinking about a lot of people think that don't nobody care about me. What's it matter if I get saved? If I got doubt in my heart, what's it matter? Don't nobody care about it? And I told you earlier, I don't show my emotions that much. But I want you to know each and every one of you here, I care about each and every one of you. Amen. I might not show it. I might not shake get to shake your hand every service. There was this side, by the time he quit playing the song, I didn't get over here. Maybe I didn't get to shake your hand, but I care about you tonight. Amen. I might not call you up. I might not speak to you every week. I might not get to talk to you, but I care about each and every soul, each and every person here. And I wish I showed it more. I wish I was that kind of person that showed emotion. You can ask my daddy. I hardly ever tell my daddy I love him, and I love my daddy to death. But you can ask him, and my mama, I don't say it very much. It's just the way I am. But you might be here today, and you might be sitting in these pews, and you say, nobody cares about me. Nobody cares about my dash. Don't nobody care what happens to me. But I want you to know there is one that cares. Luke chapter 15, verse 7 says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Then again in Luke 15, verse 10, he says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. I tell you tonight, you are important tonight. Yes. You are so important that God left his throne in heaven and came down to this earth. Yes. And died on the old rugged cross for you. He loves you tonight. And I tell you tonight, God loves you. If nobody else in this room right here loves you tonight, God loves you. And if you were the only sinner in this earth, that he'd have came here and died for you tonight. And God loves you tonight. You are worth something. Your dash is worth something in this earth. It says, but what is your dash worth? And I told you earlier, it could be you next. It could be you. I want you to think about that. Here I am talking about my daughter. We just got Miss Sarah, not too long ago, just had cancer, and it was her husband. Many others up in here have had situations, and I remember praying for them and praying for each and every person here, and next thing I know, it's my daughter that's the one I'm praying about, the one I never thought, and I love her to death, and I'll tell you this morning I love you, tonight I love you, and if something happens to me, you get this recording right here, and you play it over and over again, that I love you this morning, tonight. And God loves you. Amen. God cares about you tonight. Amen. You make your dash worth something in this earth. And I tell these teenagers and these young people here this morning, your dash is worth something here. Right. Sell out for God and give him your life. Make your dash count. Don't die. And when you die, everybody stands around and says, well, hey, we're a good person. And they did. They worked hard. And they were a good father. And they were a good mother. They were a good daughter. I want when y'all go to my funeral. If I die after, I want to sell out for Christ from now on. I want to do whatever he wants, and I intend to do whatever he wants. I love my job, and me and my wife have been praying about it. Whatever God wants from my life, that's what I want to do. I want to do what God wants me to do. And when I go to my funeral, I want you to say, that man right there was sold out for Christ. He gave his all. I've told this before, and I remember when we went to Sword of the Lord, I like Clarence Sexton, and I love to hear him preach. And I remember him coming in, and I remember telling him, I said, he looks like he's about to fall apart. He come in, he was just real slow, he was just frail looking. And that's because he's give his all for Christ. That man, if you look at what he's done, get on the internet and look at that man. Look what he's done. He's starting colleges. He's went to England and started a college over there. They bought a castle over there. They renovating the castle to make it a school. He's got all kind of books out. He puts a book out about once every couple months. That's what we do our Sunday school series out of. It's on the road all the time. The Sword of the Lord, he had to fly in that night so he could preach at the Sword of the Lord, and then he left following that. I want to be like that. I want to sell out for Christ. I want my dash to mean something. Amen. When I get in heaven, I want to stand before God and say, I give my all to you, God. I want to be able to take them crowns that he gives me and cast them back at his feet and say, thank you, God, for dying for me on the old rugged cross. Amen. Thank you for loving me so much that you come to this earth and died for me. And I want to cast them back at his feet. I want to be all he wants me to be here. I want to see soul after soul go to heaven. And I want to be able to go to him and tell him about how good God is. And I want to sell out totally for him and see souls saved because of him. And that's what I want. I want my dash to mean something on my tombstone. Amen. Not just a mark that was put there by somebody. I want you when you go to my tombstone. And I want each and every one of us here. I hope the rapture takes place and we never get to see each other's tombstone. But I want to go to your tombstone. I want to say that person right there was sold out for God. I want to say about each and every one of us here, I want to say that he gave his all for Christ. Amen. Or she give her all for Christ. I want us to look over in 2 Kings chapter 2. We're talking about this dash. And as I was studying, I got thinking about this dash and what we could do, what we need to do, and what I need to do. I looked at my life majorly today, just sitting at home, studied all day long, sat there by myself and just looked at different things. And I got to thinking about it in 2 Kings chapter 2, starting in verse 1, and it says, "And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elijah said unto him, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophet that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elijah and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elijah, Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elijah said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken away from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it and cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, Where is the God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elijah went over. And I got to thinking about that dash, and I got to thinking about my life. And I got to this verse, and here Elijah, if I make sure I get him right, Elijah was going to be taken on, and Elijah followed him and wouldn't leave him. And I got to thinking about that verse 11 and verse 12, and he said, And it came to pass as they went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And I got to look at that verse, and I got to think about the many have passed on. I was just riding home the other day, and I got some of the tapes out the back. And I got to listening to one called Tim Lee. And he was on Jack Isles' tape, and he was talking about America and talking about losing his legs. And I got to listen to that great preacher in them days, and Tim Lee's still alive. But I got to listen to him in them days. Got to hear Jack Isles on that tape, and got to thinking about the people of old, and people that Dr. Lester Roloff and Dr. Lee Robinson, people like them that used to stand up and preach God's word and wasn't scared. People like D.L. Moody that just preached God's word, and your favorite, I can't think of his name right now. What's your favorite? Not really, Lee Robinson. Spurgeon, that's it. Spurgeon, people like Spurgeon. People like them that used to preach, stand for God's word, didn't back down, had backbone, right. Preach God's word. Saul, Saul was saved. And I got thinking about them. Many of them have passed on. Just as Elijah, Elisha, Saul, Elijah go on. And I got to thinking about that. Who's going to pick up that mantle?
Right.
Who's going to carry on that mantle? It's up to people like me and the preacher and people like you to pick up those mantles and carry on.
Yes, amen.
You might be here and you might say, well, I'm too old. I'm too young. You don't matter age. God can use you. You pick up them mantles and you carry on. And
right.
You take them mantles.
Yes.
Just as Elijah, after Elijah smoked that water, he took that same mantle and I could just see him. I looked it up, and the mantle was like a little coat-looking thing. It went over your shoulders, and it said he folded it up and smoked the water. And I kind of just pictured him kind of rolling it. You know how you pop somebody with a towel? And I could just picture him taking that same mantle that Elijah used and walking up to that water and rolling up just like Elijah did and popped that water, and it parted.
Right.
Somebody picked the mantle up. If he had not picked the mantle up, he wouldn't have went on. He wouldn't have went back to the water. Somebody picked it up. And it's our job today in this church to pick up the mantle of the ones of old, the ones that passed on, the older ones that can't do it anymore. It's time for us, the younger ones, the people of this church, to take them mantles up and be what God wants us to be and give our all to Him, just like them people. Dr. Lester, Dr. Lee Robinson, one of my favorites too, like he said, Dr. Lee Robinson. I love Dr. Lee Robinson. Dr. Lee Robinson was actually the one that hired Clarence Sexton. He hired Clarence Sexton. Their church hired him, and all he did was he went out on visitation. That was all he did. And I believe he's the one. Clarence Sexton watched him and watched his life. And then when it was his time to go out on his own, he picked that mantle up too, and he carried on. Dr. Lee Robinson gave his all for Christ. As I was studying, I thought of a little phrase he used to say. Dr. Lee Robinson had a phrase. I've heard a preacher say it. And I'm going to read another little poem here. And it touched my heart when I read this poem. But we need some men like that today.
Yeah.
We need some men to stand up in this church and say, we're not going to bow down to this world. I don't care who's the president of the United States. We're not going to bow down to him. We're not going to let them take our freedoms away as a church. We're going to stand up here and preach God's word. We're going to go out here and try to get souls saved. We want to see the whole world saved. That's what we need today, people, to stand up here. But I heard a little poem, and it says, two little lines I heard one day, traveling along life's busy way, bring a conviction to my heart and from my mind would not depart. Only will one life, 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day my Lord to meet and stand before His judgment seat. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, the still small voice gently pleads for a better choice, bidding me selfish aims to leave and to God's holy will to cleave. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, a few brief years, each with its burdens, hopes, and fears. Each with its days I must fulfill, living for self or in His will.
Right.
Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last.
Right.
When this bright world would tempt me sore, when Satan would a victory score, when self would seek to have its way, then help me, Lord, with joy to say, only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Give me, Father, a purpose deep, in joy or sorrow thy word to keep. Faithful and true, whate'er the strife, pleasing thee in my daily life. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Oh, let my love with fervent burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasures on thy throne. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Now let me say to thy will be done, and When at last I hear the call, I know I'll say 'twas worth it all. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last.
Amen.
I want y'all to look at your dash tonight. I want you to think about that dash tonight and what you've done for Christ. Have you totally sold out for Christ? Have you give your all for Christ, or are we just sitting here taking up a spot, doing what we can for self? Are we looking at our own self and not what Christ wants us to do? When someone looks at your dash, what would they say? When they're standing there reading your eulogy, and a man stands behind this pulpit, and you're lying in that casket down below, what are they going to say about you? Are they going to say you give your all to Christ? Will everything you've done pointed to Him? Or will it all point to you? I ask the preacher to come. I ask everybody to bow their heads. Our dear and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, as the preacher comes tonight, God, I've tried to preach your word, try to give the people what you give me. And God, you've touched me so much today in my studies and in my trying to get this prepared. God, it's only one life that I have. And it's only the only thing that means anything. It's what I do for you. God, I pray tonight as we get to the invitation time, God, I want to be totally sold out for you. I've talked with Tracy. I've talked to her about this. And God, whatever you want for my life, that's what I want to do. God, I'll not be foolish and just go out and quit my job or anything like that. But God, as you lead and open doors, God, I'll step through. God, you let me be totally sold out for you so that when I pass on and people come by my tombstone, they'll look at that dash, that little small line between the two dates, and they'll say, He give it all for you. God, I pray now that you touch hearts, speak to hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight if you will.
Before the invitation starts, I want to ask you this question. And then we have the invitation to slowly start and the altar will be open. I'm going to ask you this question tonight and ask yourself this same question. Is your life making a difference in somebody else's life? Is your life right now making a difference for the good, for God's glory in somebody else's life? Father, I pray, God, you'll help us examine ourselves tonight. God, deal with ourselves. Lord, I believe the message was right tonight. The dash, the time we have on this earth is so frail and so short, but it's so precious. And help it to be used for thee. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. As the invitation starts, the altar's open tonight. I believe she's playing I Surrender All. I wonder if that's what some of us need to do tonight, is just surrender all to the Lord. Surrender our minds and surrender our bodies and surrender our will. Surrender our pride. We're not asking you to surrender your money. Not asking you tonight to surrender your house or your cars, your jewelry or your boats. We're just asking tonight, would you surrender yourself to the Lord? You've been saved. You've been set free. You know you're on your way to heaven. Wouldn't you like to make a difference here in this world? Wouldn't you like to bring others with you to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Wouldn't you like to know when you leave this world that you've made a difference? D.L. Moody was quoted saying that he would love to win thousands of people to the Lord. But greater than that, he would love to lead others and teach others how to lead others to Christ. He said if he could train 100 or 1,000 to do the work he's doing, then it'll make a bigger impact and make a bigger dent in the world. Your life is important. Your life is valuable. Your life cost God to send his son Your life is so meaningful tonight that Jesus Christ died for it. He shed His blood for it. He gave His all for you. Why don't we give our all for Him? You say, "Preach, Scott, it'll make me crazy. I can't handle it." It won't make you crazy. It'll set you free. Serving the Lord will set you free. Giving Christ your all will set you free. I surrender all tonight. I hope you do. I hope you do. All to Jesus, I surrender. All to Him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him and His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. The last verse goes, all to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessings fall on me. I surrender all, I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Father, tonight I want to pray for these that was at the altar, myself included. Lord God, that You help our hearts, no doubt. There's many things in our lives that, Lord, we need to surrender to the Lord. God, it's not our time, but it's Your time. It's not our talent, but it's Your talent. And God, it's not even our lives, but it's Your life that You've given us to live. God, help us to surrender every heartbeat that we have. Well, God, I pray tonight that You'll make a difference in our lives. God, so we can make a difference in somebody else's life. I thank God for those who's had made an impact and a difference in my life. Their lives has been sown into my existence. And God, their fingerprints is on the fabric of my life. And I thank You for that, those who made an impact upon me. God, help me to surrender myself to Thee that I could be a blessing to others. God, dismiss us with Thy love tonight. Help us to truly serve You in this week we have. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. See you, Brother Matt. We'll close in prayer. Brother Jeff, get back there with you and your wife, if you will. And Liz, you get them. Let's do that real quick. Never mind. Well, Brother Jeff, when we get through, you go back there so we can shake your hand, okay? All right. Let's go ahead and...